All right. Do I have to? I'm gonna ask this on the air. Do I need to refrigerate pies? Because I bought them and I just like left them out for Thanksgiving.
I think it depends on, like, if you bought like a fruit pie, I think that just can stay out, right? I think those just stay
It's a
out.
pecan pie and a pumpkin pie.
Pecan has to be good. Like, has to be just be able to stay out.
You know what I'm gonna
It's
do? I'm just gonna let
sugar
my
and pecans. Why the
yeah.
fuck
I'm
would
gonna
you
let my
refrigerate?
girlfriend. I'm gonna let my girlfriend figure it out, and then I can blame her if it goes
And what's
awry.
the other
Because
one?
generally,
Pecan
we
and
trust each other.
what's the second one?
Brown butter pumpkin.
Oh God.
Like, I don't even like pumpkin pie, but like, when you get when you put like brown butter in front of it, like I just want to have sex with it.
Right. That's a little preview of Thanksgiving in the Costos household. I
Yeah,
agree. Sounds awesome.
it's gonna be a fun one. You know what else is fun? When we welcome in our friend Rob Bozzola to You Better, You Bet. Rob, pro sports better. He is awesome. His analysis is incredible. He is on Twitter at Rob Bozzola, and he's generous enough with his time to join us quite often here on You Better, You Bet, and we're always happy to have him. Rob, what's going on, brother man? Welcome back to the show. It's Nick and Ken here on a Tuesday. Before we start looking ahead to the Thanksgiving slate in week 12, let's recap week 11. How did it go for you, my friend?
So I won in week 11. It was an extremely high volume week for me by Sunday morning with not a lot of great numbers. I mean, I took some early overs in New Orleans and Cleveland that ended up being bad numbers, one because of Taysom Hill, the other because of the weather. Just in general, was not feeling so great about my positions. But ended up having a pretty good day, and I feel like I got unlucky just in general as well. Like it was one of those where you had a good day, but still felt like you lost because for one, I had the Bengals as a pretty big play against Washington, which they were dominating the game until I know they were only up 9-7 when Joe Burrow got hurt, but they were dominating really up until that point, and then the offense, I mean Ryan Finley's like deer in the headlights is at that point is over,
Oh, you should
and
have
then
won that
that.
game. I said earlier, Rob, I took
Oh,
Washington, and
by
like,
a
if Joe
pile.
Burrow plays that
Yeah.
whole game, the Bengals win by double digits. Easy.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah, and then like I felt like I watched a lot of it. I watched the replay of that as well just to see what Finley actually looked like, and he was terrible. But it kind of like deflated the team a little bit just in general. Like even the defense, I think it's just something it's hard to come back from. You know, your star quarterback getting injured mid-game. So that was a tough one for me. And then I lost Green Bay as well. Which I had a really good money line price, I think plus 131 on Green Bay against Indy, which I mean, I really don't have any regrets on that. I thought, Indianapolis benefited from some fumble luck in that game. I mean, the one where Rodgers was under center and you dropped the ball in the snap, you have a special teams fumble, the overtime fumble. So to me, I felt like I was getting plus 131 on what was a coin flip, and it seemed very much like the game was a coin flip. So it's just losing in that manner, I guess, is pretty painful, especially with Green Bay having a chance to drive the field and score a touchdown at the end of regulation, and they kind of botched that, which you would expect it in the with the Packers under Mike McCarthy, but not necessarily with the Packers nowadays. So just a frustrating, I guess, end of the week, but overall, I mean, it was in the green, so I'll take it.
Rob, we Nick and I spent a lot of time in the first hour of the show trying to kind of unpack like what did we actually learn from last night's game from Monday Night Football with Tampa losing to the Rams. We also spent some time patting ourselves on the back for hitting a lot of bets, but we also unpacked both teams and what we thought kind of going forward. Do you feel like you learned anything kind of fundamentally different about either team, or you're viewing them different going forward with Tampa and the Rams?
Yeah, I mean, I think every game provides us some opportunity to learn something about a team or give us some perspective. Just in general, like the Rams had not really, the quality of competition this year has been something that a lot of people have been talking about, especially during the year when they were only beating NFC East teams. But seeing them get like a marquee signature win like that, and having beat Seattle a couple weeks ago as well, like you can kind of dispel that now. Like the Rams are a good team, and I know that Jared Goff really doesn't, he has some of those deer in the headlights games as well, but he played really well last night. And I think if he's schemed properly and you can coach him up, like you can do some things on offense. At least they're an average offense, and that's good enough when you have a defense of their stature. So I think the Rams are legit. I think kind of the win last night proved that a bit. But I mean, there were some things working in their favor, right? Like the Bucs, Ali Marpet was still out on the offensive line. Early in that game, they lose their left tackle. Later in the game, they lose their center. And it showed, like, that Rams defense doesn't need an excuse to get extra pressure. And if he can get pressure on Brady up the middle, he's going to make some mistakes. He threw some horrible deep balls in general. The range on the Bucs this year has been pretty large. But yeah, I think each game provides us with an opportunity to learn something about a team. But the Bucs have certainly had a couple of stinkers this year against quality competition, which makes you question them a little bit going forwards.
All right, so yeah, so we'll talk about their game coming up on Sunday against the Chiefs as we move along here. But let's start in chronological order, right? And we'll go to the Thanksgiving games. And I'm pretty sure that, you know, none of us can really make like an informed, or maybe you disagree, but like I feel like I kind of need to know like who's playing in this game for the Lions on offense before I can really make a bet on the Lions and the Texans, with Houston sitting as a 3-point road favorite, Rob, in the first game coming up on Thanksgiving. So anything for you at this point as we do this on Tuesday evening on Houston and Detroit on Thanksgiving?
I like Houston in this spot. So I've kind of been on the Houston bandwagon now for a couple of weeks, and but I think this has more to do with being anti-Lions than it is pro-Texans. So just looking at today's practices, Kenny Golladay went from limited yesterday to did not practice today. I think it's extremely unlikely at this point that Golladay is going to play this week. Amendola and Swift were both limited, but I still think they're coin flips at best. Listen, like without those guys in the lineup, there's just not a whole lot on the Lions offense. TJ Hawkinson got banged up last week as well. And I really think Detroit's going to go into this game and they're going to see on the other side of the ball a Houston run defense that's been really bad this year. And you know what you're going to get. A bunch of Adrian Peterson up the middle on first and second down, try to take some of the pressure off of Stafford, who may or may not be dealing with an actual injury to his throwing hand. Like, he was horrible last week, so that's a possibility there as well. And I just don't see the Lions offense doing much. Like, the Texans offense has been improving pretty regularly. They've at least shown the ability to be able to shut down offenses that have not been good in the past month or so. But their offense, on top of things, like Deshaun Watson is having an amazing year that's going unnoticed because it's the Texans. But if you look at his EPA per dropback, it's top five in the league. If you look at it since Bill O'Brien's been fired, he's top two. The problem is that the Texans run the ball rather ineffectively. That's likely not going to change at this point, even under Romeo Crennel. So there's still going to be some wasted downs here or there. But when they do throw the ball, they are very effective. And the Lions are not going to offer much in terms of resistance from a pass rush, especially with Trey Flowers on IR for them. The secondary hasn't been good. So I just see these as two teams headed in different directions. And yeah, like, you don't really want to overreact to 1 week in the NFL, but I don't think this is an overreaction to 1 week. I just think the Lions are in really bad shape on a short week with the personnel that they're going to roll out there on offense. So Houston at -3 at an underdog price, so like +100 or better, I think is a play this week.
It's worth also mentioning, I think 20-0 was the final score in that Carolina game. They threw two interceptions in the end zone. So, like, actually could have been like 30-0, 34-0. Maybe even like somehow if 20-0 could be a misleading final score, might have also been misleading in terms of how bad Detroit was in the game. Rob, the second Thanksgiving game is two very poorly rated teams, but the stakes are very high, which is kind of interesting with Washington and Dallas. I think that, you know, the market movement has basically been like, you know, 3 -120 one way, then +3 -120 the other way, kind of like a give and take around the key number of 3, total 46 in Washington and Dallas. Have you bet anything in this game, and what are your thoughts?
I took a piece of Dallas early, and it's a -2.5, I think, at a fairly good price, just expecting the number to climb a little bit. I wasn't sure if that was going to be my sort of my final position on the game just in general, but I do like more I'm thinking about it. I do make this game -3. So, like, as it stands right now where the market is, I think it's fine. It goes without saying that Andy Dalton is an upgrade at quarterback. I mean, you guys were pretty heavy, I think, on the Cowboys against the Vikings last week, and I ended up adding it on Sunday when I ended up getting a 7.5 after someone steamed that on Sunday morning. But there is an upgrade at quarterback here that's obvious. Moving Zach Martin from guard to tackle was huge for them last week, monumental in terms of the pass protection for Andy Dalton. And he didn't really tear it up. Like, if you look at where Andy Dalton fared in terms of EPA per dropback last week amongst all the quarterbacks, he was right around average. But like that's kind of enough right now because the defense is improving and I think it's really flying under the radar. So the Dallas defense was absolutely decimated by injuries for the first month of the year and they were performing at a horrible level. Now we've seen a couple games with them slowly getting healthier, especially in the linebacking core, where prior to the bye, they pretty much shut down the Steelers offense. And then last week, I don't want to say they shut down the Vikings, but they played, you know, a pretty solid defensive game altogether. Sean Lee is, I mean, he's an old man, but he's having a really good season since he's come back into the lineup. Leighton Vander Esch is there. They got Chidobe Awuzie back at cornerback last week, which is big for a team that's thin at quarterback with Trayvon Diggs being out for them. And I'm just not really high on Washington's offense in general. I actually was looking at it today, and I do have Alex Smith as an upgrade over Dwayne Haskins at this point, which is really weird because Smith does look terrible at times, but I guess it's more a testament to how bad Haskins is and how often he turned over the ball. But I don't know. I think Dallas is just a better team right now. And it's if you're like a numbers or modeling guy and you're using season-based stats, you're probably going to arrive at Washington as a play here and say, this is an overreaction to last week because the look-ahead line in this game was Cowboys minus one. But I still think that this is maybe an opportunity to buy low on Dallas, as weird as that sounds. I mean, I'm a Cowboys fan. I'll throw it out there. I'm trying to keep this as unbiased as possible. I have so many bad memories of betting the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, including like Josh Allen completely dragging his nuts all over the Cowboys defense last year as well. But like, I don't know. I think the Cowboys are going to win. I think if you can get anything under three, I think that's a play.
All of my Thanksgiving memories with the Cowboys involve around Leon Lett in the snow against the Dolphins and then Emmitt Smith dragging his nuts all over the Giants on a couple Thanksgiving games in the 90s when I was a kid. Rob, let's go to the Thursday night game, which did not exist when we were kids, but very happy that it's here now. And maybe it won't be there, but God willing, it will be with some of the Ravens COVID tests as Baltimore visits Pittsburgh in what should be like a massive game and like kind of, I don't know, it doesn't really have that prize fight feel around it right now with the Ravens struggling here over the last like month or so, you know, back-to-back losses, obviously the overtime loss last week against Tennessee. Well, the Steelers are undefeated here. Pittsburgh hovering in between a 4 and 5 point favorite, depending on where you shop, including Bet Rivers here. What do you make of this game, Pittsburgh and Baltimore, with some obvious COVID concerns with the Ravens? We know about Dobbins and Ingram and apparently other players as well that we don't yet know about.
Yeah, so, I mean, your first inclination when you think of Steelers-Ravens is like field goal game, right? Like that's what everybody thinks about. And I'm not surprised at the amount of people that were rushing to grab Ravens plus 3.5 when it opened earlier this week. But like, I don't know. I just don't see it. And I'm not necessarily a believer in Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh's faced an easy schedule. They've had their moments where like they don't really look great, but they pull it out. But just the situation this week, right? Especially when you look at the Ravens front seven on defense, Brandon Williams and Pernell McPhee are both on the COVID list. They cannot play on Thursday. So those guys are out. Calais Campbell is likely not to play as well. So you're talking about three starters and three good starters in your defensive front seven against a pretty physical Steelers offensive line. Like, I just don't see the path to success for the Ravens defense unless Ben has one of those games where he's awful or this quad injury that he has where he was limited in practice today ends up being some sort of thing for him. And then on the other side of things, like, you know, it seems like we talk about the Ravens offense on almost a weekly basis because, I mean, we have to because it's not the same as it was a year ago. And the expectation is always that, like, they're just going to turn it around and get back on track. And I fell into this kind of trap a couple weeks ago against New England where I was like, they're going up against a really bad defense. They should be able to move the ball. And last week, like, look at all the defensive starters that the Titans are missing as well, and they couldn't move the ball consistently against Tennessee. Like, I think we know what the Ravens offense is at this point, and I'm not sure that they're suddenly going to just be able to get it together against Pittsburgh. Now, do I want to chase this number and bet, you know, 4, 4.5, 5? Probably not. But I mean, if I had to pick a side, I'm betting Pittsburgh, even though it seems so weird to lay the points in a Steelers Ravens game. And that's where I'm at. And also, like, the totals being bet down, like, I mean, we're at 44.5 now. 44 is a key number for NFL totals. If it hits that number, I think this is a buy on the over, just because of the defensive injuries for Baltimore. Like, Pittsburgh's going to move the ball. I feel pretty strongly about that in general. And 44 seems like a low number with the Steelers' offense against this Ravens front seven.
Before we move on to Sunday, I was going to ask you a follow-up about the total, and I still will, just to kind of reemphasize. So, like, I think you're making some really good points. My question is just usually, like, total movement, side movement for sure, but total movement even is, like, a result of the injury reports that we get day by day, right? Like, it looks like this guy's not going to play. You see the side move. You also see the total move. If what you're saying is true in the Ravens, it looks like they're going to be without a lot of defensive guys, and there's no weather considerations in the game, and the two teams blasted through the total the first time, like, are you surprised that people are so eager to bet the total down with all those things in play?
Nothing ever surprises me. Like, obviously there's someone who sees something from a different perspective than I do. I mean, if you do look back at the first game, the Steelers had a pick six in that game very early, which obviously is going to impact the total in the game and impacts the game script as well. It kind of forced Baltimore to throw the ball a little bit earlier than they probably would have in that game. So there's some factors that play into it, but I mean, ultimately, it could be a result of seeing Big Ben, Juju Smith-Schuster limited. I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster is going to play this week. The guy stepped on a flag last week. I don't think he's missing the game unless he has like some devastating injury that I don't know about. So there could be all sorts of things that go into why someone would play something. But ultimately, I just see the game script here with the Steelers being able to move the ball, in my opinion, Baltimore forced to get out of their comfort zone, which is running the ball, having to try to stretch the field a little bit more. I see this as being a game that I strongly lean to the over at 44. It's an auto buy point, but I still might play it at 44 and a half.
All right, Rob, let's move to Sunday slate here, and maybe like the biggest like intellectual mismatch in the history of the National Football League when it comes to coaches on one sideline, Cliff Kingsbury on the other, Bill Belichick. Arizona, 2-point favorite at Bet Rivers on the road at the New England Patriots. Total 49.5. You got anything in this one, Arizona at the Pats?
I like the side more than the total, but I kind of like both. I like Arizona. I'm just going to continue my New England fade until we just stop giving the Patriots credit for being some sort of good team, that because they're not. They're a well below average offensive and defensive football team. I mean, my only concern is around Kyler Murray and the throwing arm, which obviously can have an impact on a quarterback. But I mean, he seemed fine for the remainder of the game against Seattle last week. He's had over a week to prepare for this game now, or will have had over a week to prepare for this game. So that's not concerning. But I don't understand these short prices every now and then. And I was big on Houston last week, even when Laremy Tunsil got announced out with the flu. It's like, how are the Patriots going to? They don't have a pass rush. Like, sure, Tunsil's a great offensive lineman, but where are the Patriots going to generate some sort of pass rush? And I don't know how they're going to do that against Arizona either, and especially with Kyler Murray's mobility. So I think this turns into a game where New England has to match points, and I don't think their offense is built to do that. I think Rex Burkhead is a sneaky, underrated loss for the Patriots offense, which sounds weird because Burkhead is like, you know, a career journeyman, like just, you know, token white guy, so to speak, but he's like, he does so much for the offense right now, and they utilize him so heavily that not having them, I think, affects him a little bit. But ultimately, I think Arizona's going to score. I think Murray's going to have a lot of time to do whatever he wants downfield here. And like, you got to start to wonder about this Patriots defense just getting shredded by the Texans last week. Like, people thought the Joe Flacco kill, you know, shredding them was an anomaly. It's not. This is who they are at this point. So I strongly like Arizona at anything under 3. And I think because of the virtue of I see them scoring a lot of points and, again, forcing the Patriots to have to throw the ball instead of, you know, having this conservative game plan, I lean to the over there as well.
Rob, one game, you mentioned you got unlucky on the Joe Burrow injury, probably having Cincinnati last week. I think this number is interesting only in that, sort of like we have a couple of these games every week. Like, I don't know how you make a number on this game with Finley starting. And I mean, I think the openers came out on Monday and it was like 4, 4.5. And it's like, well, that's only going one direction because Ryan Finley is the quarterback on one of the teams. So like, how do you kind of go about handicapping a game where you have like literally no body of work on a quarterback, but you're pretty sure he's awful? Like, how high does the number have to be for you to not want to take the Giants? Just kind of walk us through your thought process with Giants and Cincinnati.
It's tough. So I'm trying to think of a number where I could bet Cincinnati this week, and I can't give you, like, even if it got to
20?
seven, I don't think I would bet Cincinnati. Like, Finley is horrible. He's the just watching him last week, like, the dude thought he had like a dozen seconds in the pocket every single time he dropped back. And just watching him go through like his reads and his progressions, he didn't come off his first read like almost ever. He's just really, really bad. So it becomes a question of, do I want to lay it with the Giants here? And I mean, absolutely, Giants are nothing. Don't get me wrong. I just don't know that I can. The Giants are such a weird football team in that I'm looking at them this morning. I'm like, this offense is really not as bad as it looks. Like, you look at the quality of defenses that the Giants have faced this year, and it's been like absurdly difficult relative to every other team in the NFL. So it's like the offense is better than people give it credit for. But on the other side of things, the defense is looking really good right now, and they've gone up against a horrible group of opponents. And the thing is, that's likely to repeat itself this week, going up against a Cincinnati offense led by a horrible quarterback. So, I mean, I haven't pulled the trigger on the Giants this week. It probably will find its way onto my card in some capacity. But like, I ran the game with the game with Burrow and Finley, I should say. I was getting very flustered there. And I ran the game with Burrow, and it came out to like just over a 7-point difference in this game alone, which to me like kind of smells right, but maybe is an understatement just with how bad I think Finley is. So I feel confident in my number this week. It shows an edge on the Giants, and I probably will end up on New York.
I can't wait for you to have to bet the Giants, by the way, as a home underdog on Wild Card Weekend to bet on my favorite football team in the playoffs. We'll move on quickly past that here. You've been very generous with your time already, Rob. So I'll kind of leave this one open-ended for you to talk about some games that you like. And just so you know, if you do not mention the Chiefs-Patriots game, obviously we will follow up and ask you about that one. But what are some other games that you are monitoring coming up for Sunday in the National Football League?
So there's a few. Cleveland Jacksonville's off the board right now in most spots. I'm guessing. So Jacksonville took some money, and I'm guessing that there's maybe some speculation that Gardner Minshew is going to play. But I'm going to say, regardless of who plays at quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars, I like the over at anything at like 50 or less. Just th this is setting up to be a great over in terms of the defensive injuries on both sides of the ball. I would have really loved Cleveland this week had they not been missing Denzel Ward and Myles Garrett out again, and potentially Ronnie Harrison as well, which could be their three best defensive players. I would almost have certainly been all over Cleveland here, but I do think the Browns offense is going to score. Last week's scoreline, very misleading against the Eagles as well. We saw the fumble inside the 5-yard line. Like, that game should have been way high scoring than it was. And if you're just looking at Browns' final scores over the last 3 weeks, you got to take into account the weather that they've been playing in, which has been miserable. But this seems like a game where they can basically do whatever they want, with Josh Allen not playing for the Jaguars on the other side of the ball. And I'm not a Luton fan. I talked about him last week in general, but like, can he score in garbage time, or can he put up something against a defense that will probably be lacking a good pass rush and missing at least one key cog in the secondary? And Greedy Williams is still out for them as well. So yeah, I think so. So I think that's a high scoring game. I like the over there. And then, I mean, what else is on the radar? As much as I hate to do this, actually, you know, I should go back to this last week, Ken, because you talked about the Chargers and their profile in general of like, this is a team you never really want to lay points with when they're a big favorite, but you kind of always want to look at them when they're a big underdog. And we did talk about maybe a handful of teams that fit that profile. I kind of like the Chargers here a little bit with the Bills, and maybe I'm just high on the Chargers in general, and that's kind of bothersome. And there's potentially some injuries on defense for them as well. But the offense is getting me really excited in general. And they're moving the ball. They pass a lot from neutral game states, which is good. Obviously, in this day and age in the NFL, especially when you move the ball as consistently as Justin Herbert has been able to do in his young tenure in the NFL. So I kind of am hoping that this number gets to six. I haven't bet the Chargers yet. But I will end up on the Chargers in some capacity, just kind of waiting for some potential Bills money to show up here and get a good price. No, I mean, we're not really risking much waiting from a 5.5 to a 5. So I think that's going to be a close game this weekend, just like pretty much every game that the Chargers end up playing.
That's definitely the theory. The Anthony Lynn theory is coined by Ken Barkley. When the Chargers are big dogs, you play the Chargers. When they're big favorites, you fade them because all the games fall with basically within 3 points. Final one for you, Rob. I did kind of preface it by saying we do need to talk about the Chiefs, and I'm burnt, man. I said Chiefs-Patriots. It's fucking Brady and the Chiefs. Whatever. Chiefs-Bucks. Kansas City at Tampa Bay. We all need a couple days off here. Chiefs, a 3-point favorite on the road. Total 55.5. Anything for you early in the week on Kansas City at Tampa Bay?
No. So a true story, I went to bet over 54 this morning. Literally as I was betting it, the total got steamed up to 55.5, which is out of range for me. So I did have a slight lean to the over at open. The Chiefs are a very interesting team for me because obviously they are incredibly efficient on offense. But if you look at their schedule of opposing defenses that they've played this year, they have largely played nobody on that has a good defense. Like the only good defense that, and this is arguably a good defense that they played, was the Chargers week 3, where they looked miserable in that game. I mean, that's really like going through their schedule now. So I love Patrick Mahomes. I think he's like the greatest quarterback I've ever seen in my life, but I'm really interested to see how he fares against a legit defense. Sorry, they played the Ravens earlier in the year as well. I should point that out. But since then, it's been like cream puffs for the most part. Tampa's not as bad as they looked last week. Can they move the ball against the Chiefs? Probably, but I have to see the state of their offensive line going into this week because the Chiefs are pretty good up front, especially at defensive tackle with Chris Jones there. I mean, if the Bucs are missing 2 or 3 offensive linemen, I think that's going to be a disaster for them in general. Because, I mean, we just know the recipe to beat Brady, and it's pressure him without blitzing. And the Rams were able to do that pretty successfully this week. I think the Chiefs do have the personnel that's capable of duplicating that. So I will wait till later in the week. But if we do see some of those players returning on the offensive line, as much as it pains me to bet against Patrick Mahomes, I do think with a healthy offensive line, the Bucs can go score for score with the Chiefs. So I will be targeting possibly Tampa Bay later in the week, depending on how the injury situation plays out.
A great breakdown, as always, here from Rob, not just on that Chiefs-Bucks game, but basically the entire slate coming up for Week 12. By the way, you weirdos in Canada, you had like Thanksgiving like a month ago already, right? So like we can't even say Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Yeah, you could have said it a month ago to me, Nick, if you really wanted to. But no, I mean,
I'm American, man. We don't do that. You know how we roll here in America. Fuck.
We
that
wear costumes
shit.
A month ago. We only wear costumes. That's all we do.
Canadians celebrate. They give thanks to the harvest, the fall harvest, whereas Americans give thanks to the pilgrimage. So that's why they're at different times of the year. But since I am Canadian, but I love betting on American sports and American football, I will be celebrating my own Thanksgiving on Thursday as well. I like to double dip every year. So that's going to be, I'll be celebrating with you guys. And I hope you guys have a good Thanksgiving with your families, if you even can. I don't know what the situation is like over there.
Yeah, not great. What's your favorite Thanksgiving dish?
Well, I'm very much in the turkey is overrated.
Yep, agreed.
Group, I agree.
I would much rather have like a glazed ham as my meat source on Thanksgiving. I mean, I love Thanksgiving just in general, like the assortment and variety of things on your dish. I mean, I think that's what makes Thanksgiving. But I'm very fond of stuffing in general, and I love sweet potatoes or yams as well. Those are right atop the list for me. And you can't forget the desserts. Lots of people hate on pumpkin pie. I like pumpkin pie, but I do a pumpkin and pecan pie every year for Thanksgiving. And like that's the tits right there.
Yeah, pecan pie is most certainly the tits. And we're talking double D's here. Rob, before we let you get out of here, tell the people how they can support a cause very near and dear to your heart in exchange for all the great content you provide us here on You Better You Bet and what you do in some other places as well.
Yes, for those who find value in the content that I do, I am raising money for diabetes research this year. If you follow me on Twitter at Rob Pizzola, I have a link pinned to the top of my Twitter profile with a donation link for the American Diabetes Association. And obviously, the more we can do, the merrier. I think we're almost up to 10K so far this year. So that would be great for anyone who could support the cause. I'm going to need a lot of insulin for Thursday's meal. So anything that anyone can do is helpful.
Right. And like I say every week, you'd have to be a dipshit to not find value in the content. So don't be a dipshit. Donate to the cause. Rob, happy American Thanksgiving, brother. Good luck on the games this week. And we look forward to catching up with you again soon here on You Better You Bet.
Thanks, guys. Good luck this week.